This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Bacon Night. Bottom of the fourth, two outs, all-star game. Got a 2-0, or excuse me, 1-0 lead by the American League over the National League. No Witt sighting yet, but I assume we'll get Witt. We had the full audio there of Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal. And I don't know where people weighed on this, what your opinion is now. That's why we play it for you on air live. Not live, that's recording. But the reason we played the full audio in its entirety, form your own opinion. Everybody's got their own opinion.
Right.
We want to hear yours. My opinion is, I was like, let's wait for the facts when it first came out. And I felt that the audio did him some favors. I really did. And I was leaning towards him not being suspended anyway from the things that I was hearing. He was excited about going to the 8-hour meeting with the National Football League. And it really raises some doubts to the 2014 incident in which he pled guilty, because maybe he pled, as we heard from Ellen Mathis, the attorney earlier that was on the drive, to avoid other charges, which sometimes you plead guilty, you're not exactly guilty. You just don't want to go through a court of law and face other things. Your immediate reaction, Pete?
Like I said, I'm struggling with it, and I'm struggling with the situation because I look at it as a lot of people will see this today, and in a way, I kind of explained it before, it'll be celebrated. And my thoughts are always with the family now. The twins were born just a couple days ago, so this is now a family of five. And that is getting a little lost because I think people are so excited, and they have a right to be. People who are Chiefs fans have been waiting for this upcoming season their whole life, and it's muddled with football, and it gets confusing. Again, I don't want to kill KCTV5 here, and I don't intend to do that, but what has been most bad to me, most egregious, was that they released portions of the tape and represented the situation in a way that changed the context a little bit and made it look, I think, a lot less in Tyreek's favor when the news first came out in April than it really should have. And when it gave Tyreek, who I think at this point doesn't deserve it, at least in my eyes, it gave him this I'm a victim narrative on a silver platter. Like, if they had just simply released the full context of the audio, wasn't good either way. But now that this comes out later, it really makes Hill look like the victim when this is just, in general to me, a sad, sad situation. Like, I hope the best. I wish the best for this family.
Well, the reporter that put this out said they released the newsworthy portions,
which is insane
to
me. And I'm not, like I said, I have friends at KCTV5. I've been so lucky to have been gone on. They ask me for my Chiefs opinion. So sometimes they messed up here. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And it was because, like, you think about newsworthiness. This part that they left out about Tyreek, who doesn't know he's being recorded, denying everything that happened in 2014, trying to get her to say, like, hey, and he doesn't know it's being recorded, trying to get her to say, like, hey, I didn't really hit you, so on and so forth. That is so newsworthy, almost to the point of maybe more newsworthy than the parts they kind of clipped and bits and pieces.
Like, why would he say, I want you to think about it the whole time on the plane? If he did something wrong, why is he telling her to think about that the whole time if he did something wrong?
If KCTV5 got the audio and it was an awkward situation, they're partners with the Chiefs, they felt they had to run it, I just don't know why you don't run the full thing. Because if you do, it's still, like, not a great situation, but at least there's more clarity. It allows what Carrington and the guys did today, which is allow the fan and the people. Like, I can tell you whatever I think, but you deserve to make your own opinion based upon all the information we have. And instead, it just felt like a little sleazy. And I hate that. I hate that about it. And again, I look at this situation, and regardless of when all the full tape came out, this is a sad situation that I hope gets resolved first and foremost. And then I'll be happy to talk about the football aspect.
Well, there's always, I think a lot of times, investigative reporting and facts get thrown out of the window at times with certain issues, Pete. And that does bother me sometimes. I do like when facts are presented. I like to look at all sides of it. And I caution people. I mean, just like there was Dorial Green Beckham, right? When he was at Mizzou. The police report came out and people were running with the police report. You know, and I was like, okay, you have to understand what police reports are. They're one-sided. It's like if I punched you, Pete, and you filled out a police report, you'd put Jay Binkley.
Yeah, there are two sides to every
story.
Punched
me, and then if they interviewed me, I'd say I didn't touch Pete.
There's your side, there's my side.
But the media runs with, were they running with yours or my story?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I just think the way it was presented, from KCTV5 going first and then the greater clarity today, there'll be a lot of people out there, and I can't even necessarily blame people for this, that'll look at Hill as some sort of, like, victim here. When it again, and he deserves the facts to come out.
But here's the thing, though. He might very well be.
Sure.
Contract-wise, but see, he's like, been painted in a bad light.
The thing what you're doing here, though, and I understand why, I understand because the way the facts are presented, like, we're looking at this 11 minutes, and I think a lot of us are making assumptions about the whole thing. When this is also 11 minutes of a interesting situation that has lots and lots of layers to it. Now, there's been rumblings that it looks like Hill might get 0 to 2 games. What that leads you to believe is there's a lot more evidence. Like, this could only be the tip of the iceberg. I just caution people to be careful. That's kind of my take on it. I don't know how much it should be celebrated. But again, I'm grateful now that people can make the call for themselves.
And hear the whole thing.
Right.
Make their own judgments, their own opinions. I mean, it's
I think the thing
part of the whole deal.
That's probably the worst part about it is, like, now, like, people are, like, a lot of the fans are now claiming, like, KCTV5 fake news. And, like, that to me is, like, the most dangerous part about this is that, especially with the way that the rhetoric that the president has, is that when you do something like this and you give people who don't trust the media more ammunition to not trust the media, it only does, like, especially outlets like us, it does us a little, does damage to us too.
It's horrible, and it's because it's that thought process too where you could live an outstanding life, right? Mm-hmm. And KCTV5 can be a phenomenal news station.
Yeah.
It takes one moment to mess that reputation up. It takes one moment, and you're 100% right when you say that.
Yeah, and so that's the thing that kind of concerns me now is that they could report something that has a ton of credibility to it. It could be a well-reported story.
People question,
but their reputation is now taking a hit. So that now, if Angie Rocono reports anything, or if the station as a whole reports something that is valid and actually is something that is a good, well-researched piece, now people are going to call it to question because of this one story.
And it should. I mean, there should be watchdogs in the media. I'm serious. I mean, because there is always two sides to the story, and oftentimes the full facts aren't presented.
I think, too, what's missed.
That happens a lot, and, you know, that is a problem.
What's missed in the media, though, too, and I think, Bink, you guys can both relate to this, is there's bosses ahead of all of us, right? And so you sometimes take the blame for certain things, like, we don't necessarily know who to blame at KCTV. Angie Rocono is the face of this.
Yeah, I think she's the face of it, but I think it would probably be
there might have been a higher
producer.
Editor, news producer, mm-hmm. news director that said, no, we're going to present it like this. So she's going to get killed, and I don't even know if we're blaming the right person. I don't know who made the call, but whoever did an egregious decision.
I feel like we're probably blaming the wrong person here. I think it's probably the people above her, but she's the face of this, so she's going to wear it, unfortunately.
Let's go to Double J in KC. What's up, Double J?
Hey, not much. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, Double J.
I just want to say, well, first, I hope everything worked out for the family. Two, they're crazy. Both of them are. And three, I don't really blame Tyreek. Saying, I wish I never met you. I wish I never would have had kids with you. I mean, you say that in frustration. But, I mean, there's great women out there, but some women can be pretty nuts. I've ran into a few, and I knew a good friend that had he was married, he's not married anymore to the gal, but she was really psycho. So, and when someone's trying to blackmail you, which is sounds like what she was doing, I mean, you just got to get away from that relationship.
Well, thanks for the call, Double J.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for the call. Yeah.
Every situation's different, and I think there are aspects, and life gets real. Life gets real for everyone at a certain time, and people can relate to different things. And again, I just remind people, not every situation is the same. And even after today, we just still don't have all the information. Now, how that relates on the to the football field, you know, we can talk about it, but I keep the family in mind. Like, you just hope that these three kids have a chance to, like, live a really, you know, prosperous, good life. You know what I mean?
Let's go to back to the phone lines and talk to Travis in Blue Springs. What's up, Travis?
What's up, Dink? Hey, man, I've just got a couple thoughts on this, and I kind of agree with Pete more than you, but I'm going to lay this out real quick. I believe in second chances. This is a little personal, but I got a DUI when I was 19, 9 years ago. And so now I spend more on Ubers than probably anyone in America. So I do believe in second chances. But I've been a season ticket holder since 2010, haven't missed a game since. So, like, I'm still going to go out there and support the team. You know what I mean? I'm a big Oklahoma City Thunder fan. So today I got on social media because I'm wondering, you know, where's Russell Westbrook going to end up, because he's going to get traded too. And it's like, all I see is like, free Tyreek, free Tyreek. Well, the one question I got is the police report where she said she got busted in the lip, hit under the eye, and choked out. And CDOT was saying earlier that, you know, like, the cop presented all those things in his report. So I was just wondering what you had to say about that. But I appreciate guys' show.
Hey, thanks for the call, Travis. I didn't hear that part of the segment, so I'm not exactly sure. But I will say this. Text line says this, and I want to address this. It says, if you listen to CDOT's interview with Angie Ricono back on April 25th, 26th, she explicitly states the report's cut out because the person who asked them to release the tape requested they not release the entire thing. And so they released portions out of respect to the request. Please replay.
At that point, you say no.
This interview, you don't take it.
At that point, you say no.
You don't make the rules. You don't make the rules. You go by the rules. You get the tape. You play the tape. You want full context. If not, you say, don't want your tape. This was the reporter's explanation to the drive when she came on right after this news broke. This is why they didn't air the entire thing. It's very important to hear this.
They discuss their intimate life together right in the middle of it. And they also bring up other people's names connected to the investigation. So we did have that conversation. You know, is there a way to release the entire raw audio? And we felt like that middle part, that's just gratuitous. So what we decided to do is to release large chunks of them speaking back and forth. You know, normally when you have a soundbite, it's like 10 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. But we did big chunks so people could hear the newsworthy portions. So that's why that decision was made to do it that way. And even if we would chop it and try to do a raw, at that point you're cutting it and piecing it together. We can't do raw. And like I said, just because it also has other people's names, we didn't want to throw everyone else in this investigation out there. And we made the choice, obviously, we're going to take out all the curse words. We're removing the child's name. Whenever we report, we blur his face. We're trying to be fair. But when we gave it to the prosecutor, because we did want a response, the prosecutor has the raw.
We'll address this because I do want to address this. I will say one thing before we go to a couple things here before we go to break. One, you can bleep things out. We bleep things out, names out, very easily on the audio. It's done in radio real quick. I mean, the names, we said it right before, said that we blocked out the names because the names aren't important. TV can do the same thing. If we can do it, they can do it.
In news, you work in packages, and so there's sometimes is like time constraints, but at that point, you make the decision. You got to tell the story. If that's what they're saying to you, you say, we're going to run this whole thing, or we're not going to do it at all.
It's all right. You tell them. You make the rules. You say, play the whole thing. We're not going to play it at all. Trez Paylor did join us. You'll hear that as well. But I do want to react to why this thing wasn't played in its full context. I do think it's important. We'll talk about that next.
Bink at night. Download the radio.com app to listen to 610 Sports Radio wherever you are.
Bink at night, talking transparency, which is a very important concept. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, and of course, Chris Unocero. Producing. Text line 69306 from Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. Someone's saying the worst explanation I've heard. So you're telling me you can't blame out certain audio. That's what they're saying about the TV explanation. It's very easy to bleep out names. It's extremely easy. We did it for that, and we were honest. But they say, hey, we bleeped out names. You don't need to hear the names of the kids and all this stuff. You don't need to hear it. And we can't play certain cuss words, obviously, because of the FCC. But we said that going into it. But for TV to do it, this easily could have been done. But the whole story to me, the big part of the story too, was what happened in 2014. That was a big, big part of the story.
But it's also, you got to remember, Bink, like, just because you now heard that, it doesn't necessarily mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothing happened in 2014. It sounded like there was some kind of incident. I don't think nothing happened on that night. Again, it does make you question the validity of the police report. It kind of sounded like he denied some of the things that were in the police report. Again, but you just can't you don't have 100% certainty on anything anymore.
Yeah, it's just it's tough. And I think the Chiefs do treat these things seriously. That was a telltale sign for me how the Chiefs handled this situation. Because a lot of people, the court of public opinion wanted him cut. And I was a little bit surprised people were that quick to rush to judgment on it.
I think
and
it,
they were
I
very,
think if it were a guy with a completely
clean
background.
But I think hearing the small report made people want to cut him. Because they didn't
hear
the full
audio. Yeah, right. I understand what you're saying. Trust me. I'm well aware. Like, I think they looked at Tyreek Hill as a guy, okay, we brought you in our community. This is your second chance. You have to keep your nose not just clean, squeaky clean, shiny, like out of any kind. And again, like I think about parents, and I've had parents. I'm not a parent. You're a parent. If you're with a group of friends and your friends kind of do something bad, and you're just a group there, and you don't say anything, like your mom's gonna be mad at you. Like there's a responsibility when you're growing up, whenever, to just put yourself in better situations. Tyreek Hill was brought to Kansas City with the deal that, hey, you got to keep your nose clean. You got to be an outstanding citizen. It, you know, who knows what this? I don't think we really truly know what's going on in the situation. And I think that's why fans were quick to say, all right, get this guy off this team. Now, granted, I'm with you. I think the Chiefs were right. They waited, and apparently, people
they
forget.
Were so quick on the Kareem Hunt news. They were very succinct with it, but they didn't do it with this, which made me think they know more than everybody.
And
else.
There are yes, exactly. There are aspects to this, like I'm saying. This is 11 minutes that have been made public. From what you're hearing and the rumblings of it, of the suspension not being great, there's probably way more information that the Chiefs and the NFL have. I'm just saying, I think that's why people were so quick, because I was one of them. I said, I remember tweeting out something the night of. I said, I don't think this will take long. If it was a player that this was a random event or a random incident, I don't think he gets that treatment. I think that's why fans were saying, okay, forget it. You had this opportunity.
And here's from the text line, Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line. Talking about honoring the request, the person, right. they don't want you to play at all. But here's the thing. You make the rules. You're the media entity. You make the rules. See, we weren't given rules or parameters had we done it. And I've done interviews before. And there's certain things that you tape an interview. People don't want certain things being put out there or whatever. But the bottom line is, you make the rules. If you're doing a radio show, within the rules, that you can't cuss and do all those things. But you're not subordinate to whoever's giving you information. You make the rules. You're the TV outlet. You make the rules. Hey, we're not going to play at all. We're not going to do the full story. We're not taking this thing out of context. It's either all or nothing.
It's like in radio when an athlete or a band comes on your station and you're interviewing them and they say, hey, don't ask about the divorce. Well, then don't come on our radio station. Like, yep. That, it's that type of situation. Like, everyone wants to hear, and this is a different, this would be like a hypothetical different situation. Like, if you're a celebrity, everyone wants to hear that you just, you got divorced or whatever like that. You're going to come on our station and tell us we have to just, like, ask you about your band? We'll ask about that. Okay, we'll promote it. You know, you're coming on our station. But we got to ask everything. Then you say, okay, we don't want you then. Same deal. If someone comes to you and says, yeah, only play this part that sounds like it's incriminating Tyreek, and don't even play this part where he's denying 2014 claims that are probably more newsworthy than the part you played, you say, okay, well, you can take your audio. We're not going to play it. We don't want it. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. And to Chris's point, it's just a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope because now I think people will see KCTV 5. If something ever happens where they have a true solid report where they're painting the whole picture, people are going to have questions. And it only takes one incident.
I don't recall there being a request to only play part of it from whoever gave that, sent that audio to Angie. It was a matter of whether or not that audio was to be played at all originally. Because they said, yeah, we don't want this audio played right now.
Yeah, but didn't in that sound drop she just say, like,
did she say
there were portions? Yeah,
they only wanted part of it played. Because I only remember it being said that they don't want the – like, when she initially got it, it wasn't to be played at all.
I think regardless of what happened, I think you hear that clip, and it's got to be an all-or-nothing thing.
That's what I'm saying. That, like, to me, it seemed like it was an all-or-nothing situation.
Regardless of the reasoning, it has to be all-or-nothing.
And it was their – it was KCTV5's discretion as to whether or not they played the whole thing or not.
Right.
So I think that's where the issue is that they had the discretion to choose whether to play it or not, and they did, and they chose not to play it.
Here's her words. She used the word gratuitous, which means not necessary. Which I disagree with because I think it was necessary to play. Here's the explanation again.
They discuss their intimate life together right in the middle of it. And they also bring up other people's names connected to the investigation. So we did have that conversation. You know, is there...
First of all, you can bleep that out real quick. Real quick.
...a way to release the entire raw audio. And we felt like that middle part, that's just gratuitous. So what we decided to do is to release large chunks of them speaking back and forth. You know, normally when you have a soundbite, it's like 10 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. But we did big chunks so people could hear the newsworthy portions. So that's why that decision was made to do it that way. And even if we would chop it and try to do a raw, at that point you're cutting it and piecing it together. We can't do raw. And like I said, just because it also has other people's names, we didn't want to throw everyone else in this investigation out there. And we made the choice, obviously, we're going to take out all the curse words. We're removing the child's name. Whenever we report, we blur his face. We're trying to be fair. But when we gave it to the prosecutor, because we did want a response, the prosecutor has the raw.
And the one thing about it is, it is newsworthy, first of all, because it did tell the entire story, which that makes it newsworthy there. And as far as editing out the names, it's very easy to do. We did it with our audio. We bleeped out the names. You didn't hear the names, which aren't important to the story. But the context of the story, hearing it in full context, is important.
What gets lost with me is I think, you know, KCTV5 is a station that does a good job, and I don't think this was malicious. I just don't understand how this gets lost. It's just hard for me to comprehend how you make this mistake. That's just how I feel about it.
That to me was the most concerning about it is the fact that the 2014 story was not deemed newsworthy concerns me.
Like what? How? In what world is comments on that of the 2014 thing that was such a big deal?
That
for
was
nearly 6 months in Kansas City.
Legacy.
Not new. Like that doesn't make any sense.
That's brought up every time people talk, especially this year because he's in a contract year. So that was going to be talked about every single time we talk about a contract. Is he worth a contract extension considering his past? So obviously that was going to be important to the conversation in regards to whether or not.
It was newsworthy. And you have to ask yourself something. How are we painting this picture of this person? Because if it can be painted in another direction, you need to hear things in full context. Just to be fair, you talk about fairness. That's fair is playing the entire thing, letting people make up their own minds. It was kind of fitting the narrative type of deal. That's the way I felt it. We come back next. Torres Paler actually joined us. He joined the drive. Had some interesting things to say about the story. We talk about that next.
Bank at Night. Thirsty Thursday is July 11th during Christmas in July. 610 Sports Radio.
Wifey Wednesday tomorrow on 610 Sports Radio. Thirsty Thursday, Flyaway Friday. Make sure you're listening. Torres Paler joined Pete Sweeney and I right after we played the audio from the drive, and this was his reaction to the Tyreek Hill news. What did you learn when you got to hear the whole audio now, not part of it, but the whole audio?
Well, I think the number one thing that stands out, obviously, is just how frustrated he seemed about the entire situation. Specifically about 2014, you know, just the line, you know, you ruined my life and lied on me. He said that multiple times. It's the thing that really kind of stands out the most to you. It's something that I think would have changed kind of the story a little bit when this audio first came out. Like if this was included in that story, I think it would have kind of changed the way it was written and reported in some ways. I think it just added some context and clarity to kind of what happened or kind of what they've been kind of dealing with as a couple for the last several years and what the different layers of contention that they have in their relationship. And I think that's important when you consider some of the other parts of the audio. I think you needed to hear all of it to fully be able to grasp what it all meant.
Therese, Pete here, and I just remember...
So,
I just remember when we were doing the Chiefs beat together, you were always so thoughtful and you had a feeling for the fan base. And now you're doing the Yahoo Sports thing. And I want to ask you about just the natural perception of this situation. I feel like, yeah, you know, locally, fans kind of realize what's going on, I think, a little bit more clear. What do you think nationally people are thinking about Tyreek? And do you think that this will change that in any way?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think it's human nature, right? Like, remember, man, people outside of Kansas City, like, aren't Chiefs fans. So, like, number one, like, they don't want the Chiefs to have Tyreek Hill on the team. Because, you know, he's number one. You know, number two, like, the first thing they heard about this, first of all, their first introduction, many of them to Tyreek Hill was the 2014 incident. So they already have a negative perception of him. Then the Chiefs draft him. Then that gets brought back up. So they hadn't heard of him before then. Then they heard of him when they got drafted in his history. Already a negative perception. And then if you hear the audio, you know, and then the original reports about the son potentially being hurt, or at least how it was reported about Tyreek potentially having a role in it, the bottom line is a lot of people's first perception of Tyreek Hill based on the things that had been reported, like, the bottom line is that, like, those things were not positive. And you know how hard it is to, like, change someone's perception when they made up their minds. I mean, guys, you know that, like, you know, first impressions matter, because it's hard for someone to kind of go back on that. They have to willingly do it. And a lot of times people aren't willingly trying to go back on their own perception. So, you know, I think from a national perspective, I think there's still plenty of fans and people that don't root for the Chiefs that want to see him punished or don't believe him, you know, and I think that's part of it. And I do wonder how much that could play into whatever potential discipline Roger Goodell decides to levy. I think the truth is we don't know what he's going to do. I think there's optimism with the Chiefs about the potential suspension that he gets, if he gets one. But the truth is no one knows what Goodell is going to do. And it could totally be based, at least somewhat, on public perception.
You think there's a good chance, Therese, it's nothing at all? Or do you think there's no way that the NFL would do that?
See, I wouldn't say a good chance,
okay,
because I don't know, but I'd say there's a chance. Or at the very least, I would say there are people with knowledge of the situation who believe there's a chance he gets nothing. How about that?
I like that.
That is 100%. That is 100% true.
Well,
what the league does, I don't know, guys. I don't know what he's going to do.
It was Therese Paylor, YahooSports.com, former Chiefs beat writer that joined us. He's been all over the story, and he talked about a lot of things. You can check out the full interview on demand at 610sports.com. Also joined the drive today earlier as well. Therese has been all over this story. But, you know, Tyreek met with the NFL for 8 hours. Therese has reported that. He brought information in, that some that we haven't even seen or heard. He wanted to talk, so he had wanted to clear his name, basically. And I think this tape, I feel this tape actually helps him.
Yeah, I mean, in a football career standpoint, again, I will reiterate the point. Ever since draft night, I mean, that initial KCTV5 report, any more information that's come out of this thing, it's looked better and better for his football career moving forward. Now, the NFL should be coming out with a decision in the coming days. As Therese has said countless times over the past few weeks, and it's my understanding as well, you can guess all you want. You can look at the Ezekiel Elliott thing. You could say, oh, they might make a statement with the Tyreek Hill punishment. No one really knows how many games or what the punishment is going to be. I hear this audio. I think the situation, no matter how you look at it, from an inside the family, you know, part of this, it's just sad. It's just sad. I hope that part gets resolved, and then we can, like, move on to what should be a historic season for the Chiefs.
What's your prediction for what happens for him?
I remain with this point that I can't see the league giving him no games, but I think it's a situation where he's either given 4 or 2 and it's appealed down to like 2 or 1. That's kind of my feeling on it now. I just think no matter what he did and how much he was involved, so on and so forth, I think at the end of the day, he embarrassed the Shield, and we've seen Goodell punish people for that in the past, criminal charges or not.
But if I'm thinking actually none. Be honest with
might
you.
Be.
Because,
might be.
Because
might
I think
be.
The NFL would want to state a case, hey, if they feel that he was set up, they would try to make a point.
Might
people
be.
Don't mess with our players or stuff could happen. I don't know.
I just have
a feeling he gets none. I don't know why that feeling. Chris, your prediction? None?
Two games.
Two games for you. One, maybe none for you, Pete. None
two,
for
two-ish.
Me.
Two-ish, yeah.
Huge thanks to Trez Paylor from Yahoo Sports that joined us. Big thanks to Pete Sweeney, who joined me last night at the Alamo Draft House.
Of course.
Down on Main. Beers, two guys at a brewery tomorrow at 7:30. Well, it's being a night, but 7:30 to 8. It's Windshift Brewery in Blue Springs. So I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Cheers.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.